The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning, everybody. It is the 23rd of October. What a night. What a day. Last night, if it were a fight, they would have stopped it. Your thoughts, welcome now at 866-660-5759. But not just on an amazing night on the debate stage, but an amazing night of divulgences, the Tony Bobulinski news conference, the entire meat of that Hunter Biden laptop corruption scandal story involves one very important thing, because I think it's bad and it's going to get worse. It's going to deepen. But there's only one question that matters. Does it move any votes? Did last night's debate move any votes? Lots of questions. Your answer is welcome right now. Can't wait to talk to Mike Gallagher at 735, 866-660-5759. Only one thing between you and me on the phone, and that is the official declaration. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good.
I feel good. I would not. So good.
I got to you. Oh!
Late 80s Santana, it seemed appropriate. 866-660-5759. There is not a pretzel to be found at the State Fair or Auntie Annie's or anywhere else. There is not a pretzel to be found that is twisted into such a contortive degree than the dominant media culture late last night and this morning trying to find some way to paint this as anything other than a disaster for Joe Biden. There is not a contortionist to be found that can twist in a manner as inexplicable as the attempts to downplay and poo-poo and give the back of the hand to the Biden crime family narrative. And I know that's being somewhat creative, but they are a family and there might have been a crime. And there is at the very, very least a massive scandal. But here's where we've got to take a look outside our bubble. You've heard me talk a lot about the things that really move the needle in an election. We talked a great deal about the things that matter to the result on November 3rd. I've said for a long time that the whole Hunter Biden thing did not do that. Then one thing happened to fine tune my thought on that, and that was the censorship of big tech. The Facebook, the Twitter shutdown of free communication between citizens of this supposedly free country in an attempt to share a New York Post article that delved into the depths of treachery in this Hunter Biden story, which is really a Joe Biden story. I don't care about Hunter Biden. In fact, the only thing I want to say about Hunter Biden is I hope that he heals. I hope that he is able to live a prosperous and pleasant life, free of whatever addictions and weaknesses he may have at some point had. This is a Joe Biden problem. This is a Joe Biden problem, and it is a deep Joe Biden problem. So your thoughts are welcome at 866-660-5759. Let me give you a couple of seconds of headlights here. Headlights. A couple of seconds of highlights. Highlights and headlines. Look out for the headlights. Like a deer caught in the headlights was Vice President Biden as the final moments. I don't want to overstate this. Joe remained largely coherent. And in neither debate did he, you know, have a total synapse failure and become a doddering, incomprehensible old man. That didn't happen. But the president gave him things he simply couldn't answer. There were two things that happened badly for Joe Biden last night in terms of large, broad categories. One is when he could not answer things, and the other is when he could. Because some of those answers, like I'm going to dismantle the oil industry, did Joe Biden lose Pennsylvania last night? All right, couple of key moments, and then as the morning progresses, I've got some longer takes, longer stretches on some things that were talked about, and your thoughts are welcome. 866-660-5759. Roll the tape.
We're about to go into a dark winter, and he has no clear plan.
I don't think
we're
going
to have a dark winter at all. We're opening up our country.
Everything that's going on here about Russia is wanting to make sure that I do not get elected the next president of the United States because they know I know them and they know me.
Joe got $3.5 million from Russia. I never got any money from Russia. There has been nobody tougher to Russia. Somebody just had a news conference a little while ago who was essentially supposed to work with you and your family.
Mm-hmm. That's Mr. Bobulinski.
But what he said was, I think you have to clean it up and talk to the American people. Maybe you can do it right now.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life.
Okay, let those words marinate. One wonders where the fact checkers might be on that as time unfolds.
Foreign countries are paying you a lot.
I don't make money from China. You do. I don't make money from Ukraine. You do. I don't make money from Russia. You made $3.5 million. We have 180 million people out there that have great private health care, far more than we're talking about with Obamacare. Joe Biden is going to terminate all of those policies.
Not one single person with private insurance would lose their insurance under my plan.
Well, it does not significantly differ from Obamacare during a horrible stretch of health care history during which countless Americans absolutely lost their coverage.
Nor did they under Obamacare. The idea that the stock market is booming is his only measure of what's happening. Where I come from.
I'm sorry, jobs? Jobs? Jobs?
Scranton and Claymont, that people don't live off of the stock market.
401ks.
We're going to move on.
401ks are through the roof.
We're going to move on.
Stock are through the roof.
Right.
And he doesn't come from Scranton. That's like one of the. He lived there for a short period of time before he even knew
we're
it.
We're going to move on to the
And he left.
Next.
They did it. We changed the policy.
This is the infamous cages.
Response
they
to
did
that.
It. We changed.
Did not.
They built the cages.
Who
built the cages,
let's,
Joe?
Let's talk about
who
we're
built
talking
the cages,
about.
Joe.
Let's talk about what we're talking about. What happened? Parents were ripped. Their kids were ripped from their arms and separated. And now they cannot find over 500 of sets of those parents.
One question. Who built the cages? I'd love you to ask him that. Who built the cages?
Let me ask about.
Made a mistake. It took too long to get it right.
He had 8 years he was vice president. He did nothing except build cages to keep children in. Why didn't he do it 4 years ago? Why didn't you do that 4 years ago, even less than that? Why didn't you
I
do it? You were vice president.
This is unbelievably effective. This is the kind of thing that cuts across party lines. The been there too long, stilted, glazed politician, always talking about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to. Oh, by the way, there are Republicans do this. Democrats do this. What I'm going to do, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do. Well, if you've been there forever, the question is fairly asked. Why haven't you done it so far?
You keep talking about all these things you're going to do and you're going to do this. But you were there just a short time ago and you guys did nothing.
We did.
You know, Joe, I ran because of you. I ran because of Barack Obama, because you did a poor job.
You know who I am. You know who he is. You know his character. You know my character. The character of the country is on the ballot.
Don't give me the stuff about how you're this innocent baby. Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
And there we are. So as we go to your calls, 866-660-5759, I went out on three limbs yesterday. Three. They were things I really thought would happen that really could have gone totally the other way. Number one, said that this president would be better with this that this presidential performance would be better than the first debate. That wasn't really such a big limb because the first debate was not great. I said he would be disciplined, said he would be focused, said he would be on message. And I got to tell you, it blew me away. I thought about 10, 15 minutes in that he was too restrained. I'm sitting at home saying, let's go, laptop, hello, let's go. That was number one. Number two, I said Kristen Welker would do a much better job than a lot of people were expecting. We had been seasoned by the horrible performance of Chris Wallace. And Kristen Welker is a total dyed-in-the-wool NBC liberal. But I thought that a couple of things. Number one, that she would have a sense of self-awareness and a desire to not be a national laughingstock. Not only did she restrain herself from being in the Biden protection racket, she posed at least a couple of challenging questions to Joe Biden. And by any measure, NBC's Kristen Welker did the kind of job that was exactly what needed to be done. Number two is directly tied to number three. I said this, many of you scoffed. The muting of the microphones helped President Trump immeasurably. Because I think a lot of you thought it meant that his microphone would be off whenever Biden was talking. Like that would have worked. No, no. It was just the way the questions are posed. As soon as a question is posed, one of the candidates gets 2 minutes to just go uninterrupted. Well, they made sure it was uninterrupted because the other guy's microphone was off. After that, you know, the other guy gets his time and then you get some back and forth. And boy, did we get some back and forth. But it was much better back and forth. It was measured back and forth. It was calculated back and forth. It was skillful back and forth. It was simply superb. So the mic muting helped the president. Kristen Welker was shockingly good. And the president just delivered a home run. It's his best debate performance ever, period, paragraph. It just is. Now, let's go to some calls. How much does it matter? You bet it does. How much? Because the reason debate number one was a problem, and those of us who love him, we didn't mind it so much. It's like, yeah, whatever. He interrupts a lot. No problem. And, you know, Biden was slandering him every 10 seconds. What are you going to do? But people, that sliver of people that I still cannot remotely understand, the undecided voter, what are you doing? Just wake up and start following the news? And the answer in some cases is yes. That didn't win over a lot of votes for the president. But last night, a number of people, who was it my buddy Tom Giovanetti who phrased it this way? He said a lot of people tuned in last night looking for a reason to maybe consider voting for Trump because they're not excited by Biden or they outright oppose Biden, but they don't know about Trump, the sharp elbows, the tweets, the blah, blah, blah. They're consumed by sideshows. And then he said, Mr. President, just give me something. Give me a reason to vote for you. Give me something. And he delivered it in truckloads. We are in Irving. Randy, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Happy Friday, Mark.
Happy Friday.
The thing that... Really?
Oh, by the way, prayer coming momentarily. Go ahead.
Okay. The thing that gets me is that Biden keeps persistently trying to label Trump as a race.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the man that did come out and say, you know, if you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Exactly right.
I mean, a whole race,
yes.
You know, the color of your skin dictates how you vote.
Precisely right. If there's something the matter with you, you're somehow like not really black, or your blackness is in question, your black bona fides are tainted if you're not voting for me. That is racism to presume to shackle an entire race of people to one political ideology. To denigrate black people for daring to be conservative is one of the most racist things somebody can do today. Randy, thank you. And speaking of thanking people, okay, bet you thought I'd forgotten. No. Lord, we ask you this morning for wisdom and for goodwill. The wisdom to navigate our problems from COVID-19 to social strife to political differences. Fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in the virus era. We pray for success for the minds working to help us with a safe vaccine. Let us lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Help us find smart solutions to all of our social problems as troublemakers seek to divide us. Amid these divisions, let us treat each other with respect and patience as we work together to change what should be changed, but to resist those who would opportunistically destroy vast portions of our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are there to unite us, to follow your guidance, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Now, we can pray for anything in our lives, and we can pray for things that are for all people, for the virus to be defeated, for everyone to be happy, healthy, prosperous, et cetera, to pray for our nation, et cetera, et cetera. But I, and anyone who shares my ideology has some very specific prayers about the 3rd of November. Please, God, let us prevail. Please, Lord in heaven, let this election lead the way we wish. Not just so that we can do a political end zone dance and go, ooh, yay us, but so that the country can be benefited by the kinds of things that have happened in the last 4 years, by tougher borders, by more sensible taxation, by cleaving to our patriotic traditions and our culture and our values. I'm praying for all of those things. And last night I prayed for a debate to go well, and my goodness, did it ever. And listen, I don't specifically ever ask God for a scandal to come along and cripple a political opponent. But if a political opponent is neck deep in scandal, so be it. So who is Mr. Bobulinski? What is the deal in this laptop intrigue? Tell you what that's about. Then I'm going to bounce that off Mike Gallagher. And of course, off of you, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 723. Happy Friday. Little Vince Gill, 728. And one more last chance. It was the last chance for Biden and Trump last night on a debate stage. How did it go? I think I'm going to weave my laptop answer in with a call who's about that. And that's a little Hunter Biden controversy, et cetera, et cetera. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Edward, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Mark. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So you're pointing out the controversy that's surrounding Biden and China. Mm-hmm. In real time, all of this was debunked. Number one, Trump made the accusation. Trump made the accusation that Joe Biden has made $3.5 million from China. In real time, Joe Biden immediately said, okay, there's accusations against both of us. There's accusations against me that I made money from China. There's accusations against Trump that he has a debt to Russia and others.
How does that debunk the Biden controversy?
Here's where I'm getting at. Biden immediately said, okay, there's accusations against both of us. Guess what, folks? One of us has released 10 years of tax returns.
How does that debunk? How does tax returns? How does the fantasy of tax returns debunk your word? Debunk the Hunter Biden laptop controversy.
I hadn't gotten to the Hunter Biden. $3.5 million.
We got 60 seconds. I'm not sitting here saying that it's absolutely lock them up. You know, let's have indictments, blah, blah, blah. But this is a huge seething controversy. Are there things Biden can throw back? Tax returns, blah, blah, blah. Of course he can. Russia. Sure he can. But Joe Biden has a massive scandal problem. That either matters or it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't change a single vote.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Sure, go.
Before the debate, Trump referenced the Wall Street Journal article where the Wall Street Journal was talking about it. Mm-hmm. He failed to point out, and I'm surprised Biden didn't point out, that in that same article, buried at the end, the Wall Street Journal said, we've investigated, we've researched it, we have not been able to corroborate any involvement by Biden, number one. Number two, finally, at the end of the debate, after the debate, when Trump referenced this press conference from this associate, this family friend,
right.
After the debate, the Wall Street Journal also put out a new article debunking that press conference.
That's absolutely false. I'm looking at exactly what Kim Strassel put out. I'm looking at exactly what the Wall Street Journal put out. They say there's much to be examined. This doesn't settle anything. But the notion that the Wall Street Journal has debunked it and that they somehow, quote unquote, debunked Mr. Bobulinski's press conference is false. I'm sorry. It's just false. 866-660-5759. Let's get to some true things in the newsroom and the true feelings of our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. He's next. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer, 731.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Sing with me, Mike.
I got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Okay, let's not overstate with Gordon McRae, but doggone it, man. What a day. What a night. The floor is yours.
Well, I mean, it was a head-snapping day. Three things. Boom, boom, boom. You had the Leslie Stahl tape released, which was epic. Mm-hmm. And we saw what a shrill, unprofessional harangue that all was. We would have never seen that if Trump hadn't released the raw tapes. You got Tony Bobulinski calling Joe Biden a liar and forcing NPR to have a reckoning in their promise never to cover this story. It is a story. And then you had the main event. Mark, you can't overstate it. I mean, even Megyn Kelly. Has there been anybody who was trashed more? Maybe Megyn Kelly was the first example we saw.
The Trump tattoo.
How he reacts when he feels he's been treated unfairly.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly tweeted out, Trump won this debate handily. Mm-hmm. Biden wasn't a force at all. Trump was substantive, on point, well-tempered. Definitely helped himself when it mattered most. She's right. Yep. I mean, what a difference. What a difference. Not only in tone. Joe Biden was angry. His lip was quivering. He was muttering to himself.
Check the watch. I love that.
Checking the watch. Yeah, I was going to say, remember the George? Listen, there are many people who believe that Bush, the father, lost an election for looking at his watch during the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been, I don't know. I mean, but that was it was like every single box. But here's what I loved. There's finally a chance to hear the dramatically different visions of these two men. Joe Biden, his vision is we have a dark winter.
Yeah.
It's dark, death, despair, shut it down, everybody cower, everybody hide, we're all going to die, it's going to be a dark winter. Donald Trump's vision is success will bring us together.
Yep.
That's a dramatic difference between the direction of this great country of ours. And, you know, Americans are going to have to decide which choice they prefer.
It all kind of blurred together to me in an enormous soup of greatness. That success will bring us together. Was that midpoint or was that at the end when Kristen Welker, who, how many times can I say how great she was? Say enough good.
Let's not give her a ticker tape parade.
Expectations.
Because,
you know what? Yeah. It's an expectations game.
Yeah.
People expected Trump to be terrible.
All night.
She interrupted him
all night long.
Yeah,
she interrupted Biden, I think, two times.
Yeah,
but we knew that. We knew that going in. You're right. She was better than I thought she was going to be.
You bet. And my point was, at the end, she had a really great final question. And that was, what would each of you say if you're delivering an inaugural address on January 20th, 2021? What will you say to people that didn't vote for you? And Trump was just masterful, talking about how the way of bringing people together, that success will get us out of this. And it is that success, that American success, that'll bring it together. And it's the notion, Mike, of a successful country that will get people to vote for him who might not even be totally on board with everything about him ideologically. It was a huge win last night.
It was a home run in the sense that on every level. But here was what I loved about that remark about success bringing us together. He reminded everybody watching that prior to the pandemic, which froze our country, he didn't do it. Like he said, China really did it, but this wasn't his fault. Prior to the pandemic, you know, we were thriving. Whether or not people supported him in 2016, so that's his argument. When we're all doing well, we don't have to be at each other's throats. Record low unemployment rates. And these are numbers that are important to all people. He said it perfectly. Did you notice he never lost his cool?
Not once.
All night.
Not once.
Not one time.
Nope.
So for the never Trumpers who say it's impossible to have him be disciplined, well, they're hiding in their basement this morning because they're wrong. He was incredibly disciplined last night. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see it coming either. I figured, well, we're going to have some bad moments tonight. I mean, listen, when 9:31 Central Time rolled around last night, I exhaled. I thought, hallelujah, yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, it happened. He had a great, great night. And listen, the important thing is everybody knows it. Will it move the needle? I don't know. Supposedly 47 million people voted by the time the debate even began last night. There's a lot of votes already cast. How'd you like to be a Texan in the energy industry and find out that President Biden would decimate your industry?
Of course. Of course. And then called on it by Trump. Joe says, put it on your website in the morning. I never talked about banning fracking. Put it on the website. This morning, it's on the website. He does it like five times.
Away from the oil industry. That was a gigantic. Well, he wants to decimate. Yes. He wants to put up, you know, windmills. He wants to decimate. And there goes Texas. Listen, any talk about Texas going blue. I really think Joe Biden lost Texas last night.
Well, he never had. And the president, but he might have lost Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania as well. I mean, the energy industry is looking at that saying, what? Mm-hmm. So for anybody who did the early mail-in voting stuff, how do you think they feel? He's promising to gut their job. He said it last night. Did you hear Kristen Welker? Why would you say that?
Exactly. There were a couple, and maybe, again, my expectations were so low. So you're right. I don't throw her a ticker tape parade, send her some roses. But yeah, she actually asked a couple of challenging questions to Biden.
She did.
It was tremendous. Like, wow, what am I watching?
I haven't had time yet to even look up what the left media is saying about her, because I don't think they couldn't like the performance.
Well, I watched just for 3-4 minutes. I just said, let's go see what they're doing. Let's see if the black armbands are going on over at MSNBC. Now, maybe it's because it's NBC, but Rachel Maddow and Brian Williams, they had nothing but really great things to say about her. But,
right. Well, that's what I heard.
You know, because you know what their take was, is that it took the force of nature that was Kristen Welker to come in there and enforce the law and keep Trump under control and keep him under her thumb and make him behave. Anything they could say to avoid the conclusion that Trump was awesome, because they obviously aren't going to say that.
The angriest, most frustrated person in America last night had to be Chris Wallace. I mean, because Chris Wallace, and he even said in his analysis after the debate, I'm jealous. Wish I'd have had a debate like that. In fairness to Chris, it really did take the temperament and the discipline of the candidates to make it a much more productive debate last night.
What else helped? What else helped? Admit it. Say it. What else helped?
What do you mean?
The muting of the microphone.
Well, the format was better. It was a better format. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, she didn't use it. Yeah, they did. They muted a couple times. I noticed twice, once Biden's mic was off, once Trump's mic was off, maybe twice Trump's mic was off briefly. Yeah, I don't know about the muting.
It just didn't matter. It made the messaging come across better. And that only helped the president.
It wasn't the actual mute. It was the threat of the mute. It was the threat. It was like they were both on their best behavior. Yeah. And they but again, doesn't matter. There's Biden glaring at Kristen Welker, glaring at Trump, having that, I have to say it, I'm sorry.
I know.
That elderly, quivering, I'm going to mumble, I'm muttering to my breath, I wish that kid would get out of my yard, get that ball out of my yard. That you could see it. And I'm thinking, this looks like a very old man.
There was about 15, 20 minutes left. Trump was like reaching peak energy, and Joe just was looking dazed and confused. On the ropes. And
it was bad. I mean, the stamina, and it makes people think, you know, you go back to that campaign commercial. Yeah. The phone rings at 3 in the morning. Can I remind you that the one of the two men just got out of the hospital?
Yep.
Can I remind you that one of them had to get taken to Walter Reed Medical Center with what could have been a very, very serious threatening illness? That was about a blink of an eye ago.
Yep.
And he's standing up there as energized and as vibrant. I mean,
I think he has 12 events today and 43 events tomorrow. He's unstoppable.
I mean, and I hate to put it this way, because I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody physically. But you have to ask yourself, What would Joe Biden be like if he had just been hospitalized for COVID?
I know. Please let that not happen. I want him to be happy and healthy and live to be 110.
I want him to live to be 110.
In private life. Absolutely.
But that goes through voters' minds. We have to ask ourselves, who's physically equipped for the next 4 years? Mark, the America knows Joe Biden is not. I'm sorry. There are going to be other people. Kamala Harris, surrogates. There are going to be other people running this country.
Of course.
Everybody knows it. And nobody's thinking anybody's running the country under Donald Trump's nose.
No.
So they
can try, and we see what happens to them when that fails, when they think they can change him. And you talk about the next 4 years, you're totally right. Now what about the next 11 days? Gone is the ability for Joe Biden and the campaign to say, oh, he's doing debate prep. Not anymore, so we'll see.
He's got to be out there. He's got to go out there. He just had. But here's the problem. Even when they go out there, they've got 11 cars and people standing in white circles.
Yes.
They got nothing. Yep. I mean, you should hear what they're talking about in North Carolina. I just did a hit with Joey Hudson from the Carolinas a few minutes ago. He said, there's Kamala Harris. There were like 13 people standing in little white circles. It looked like a funeral procession.
Yep.
And meanwhile, in Gastonia, down the street, thousands and thousands of people at an event for Trump. He's breaking them, Mark, because they can't understand it. There are not supposed to be any people. There can't be a crowd. Guess what? People are living their lives. You're rolling the dice a little bit. You know, I pray you don't get it. If you get it, you got a 98% chance you're going to be fine. I mean, that's Trump's vision. And if you don't accept that vision, and believe me, liberal Democrats don't. Liberal Democrats in North Texas right now listening to us think we're crazy to talk about success bringing us together and trying to open this country. They don't get it. They want us locked down and shut down for as long as humanly possible. And Mark, incidentally, I think it's unfair to say that they're all going to change their mind on November 4th after the election. I don't believe that. I think they want us locked down all of 2021. They're talking about, I mean, look at little anecdotal stuff. Cruises. I got some notifications on cruises. They're not even trying to talk about 2021. They're saying 2022. Oh, we're going to have some itineraries in the first part of 2022. Mm-hmm. It's like they're going to skip all of next year. They're not talking about theater next year. They're not talking about, that's what they want. And
they're enjoying the authoritarianism too much. Now, in our final 60 seconds, we've talked a ton about the debate, some about the Biden scandals. And the third thing would ordinarily be, on any normal day, the hugest thing, and that is the release of the full Donald Trump-Leslie Stahl interview on 60 Minutes. I don't know what 60 Minutes turns this into between now and Sunday. I don't know what they do to pick up their shattered reputation off the floor. Leslie Stahl was argumentative. She was rude. He absolutely trampled her for her ill-preparedness, and it's all there to see. I put it up on Twitter last night. Everybody can see it at Mark Davis, and it was a spectacle for the ages.
Mark, the beauty of this moment is the media corruption is laid bare. We're all seeing censorship from social media. We're all seeing with clear eyes an antagonistic, disrespectful Leslie Stahl. Imagine telling the leader of the free world, I'm upset.
You insulted us.
60 Minutes. Who the heck do you think you are? You're a reporter. You're talking to the commander-in-chief and a man a heartbeat away from the presidency, and you're lecturing them about the sanctity of 60 Minutes? Are you kidding? That's the beauty of this moment, Mark.
Right.
We're seeing it.
It's
like
out there.
We've never seen it before. Their reputation is shattered. The media's reputation, social media's in trouble. And there's going to be a reckoning. Dorsey, Zuckerberg, they're being subpoenaed. They're being hauled before the Senate. There's going to be an accountability for the censorship that these clowns have engaged in. I love it. I love our chances.
I love our chances, and I love you, buddy. I'm ready for
too.
The Friday
great
show.
Weekend.
Have a great weekend. See you on Monday in this segment, and Mike's there for you today at 10 for his Friday show, right here on 660 AM The Answer, 751.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina, Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina,
okay.
Mr. Doubleina.
I did not expect this week to roll out with some Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Nonetheless, here we are.
Mr. Bob Doubleina.
Mr. Dabalina is 18-year-old Del the Funky Homo Sapien. I was not listening to a lot of rap in 1991, but I was sort of peripherally aware of it. The Mr. Dabalina has its root in my actual youth with a reference by Peter Tork of the Monkees in a weird little album cut called Zilch, in which he talks about, you know, Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. So that made its way into the brain of Del the Funky Homo Sapien, one of the all-time good rapper names. Listen, he was hanging out with Cube in the early 90s, maybe, you know, and Del the Funky Homo Sapien's got to be 50 years old now. I wonder if he's one of the rappers for Trump. Hang out with Cube and 50 Cent, who says, I don't want to become 20 Cent under Biden. That may be one of the lines of the campaign. All right. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 758. 1 hour down, two to go. On hold. Don't move. Coming right to you next on our Friday show. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer.